Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. The Backstory program with Larry Potash. Now Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on Chicago's very own. Last night's episode, really interesting. Larry on the phone line with us right now to recap and to preview the episode that actually, if you didn't see it last night, you can see tonight. It's repeated at 11 o'clock. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk to you. And I saw the program last night. Really, really interesting. Talk about some of the stuff that you're going to, and the show will be repeated tonight. It's 11, as I said. Yeah, talk about some of the things you had last night.
Yeah, tonight was, last night and tonight was sort of a space episode, a little more straightforward history than the dark and mysterious stuff we do. But we talked about getting man on the moon and how I don't know that people appreciate the fact that when JFK said, hey, let's do it, the scientists had absolutely no idea how to do it. And then they had to sell the public on it. And what was unusual about that is usually the government enlists a bunch of PR hacks who just get in the way. And what they did was they hired ex-journalists and engaged the media and helped them actually get this, Dean, PR people helping the media tell their story and giving them what they need. So it was pretty interesting about the strategies to sell America on space, something that they're going to have to do again in the future as we look to the heavens to expand our universe, because our survival is tied into colonizing space at some point.
Yeah, to go where no man has gone before. What I found so interesting about it was, as a little kid, I remember the beginning of the space program and John Glenn and, Neil Armstrong going to the moon and, all the excitement. It just seemed like everybody was so into it. But I guess the dollars were difficult to come by, and that's why the whole thing needed to be sold.
Yeah, well, they were giving them a lot of money, but if you remember the timing of a lot of social unrest, and there was an argument that some of this money should be spent on domestic issues. And, of course, we all know the history that the two events were sort of coinciding, but when we think of space and man walking on the moon, you just get caught up in that. You think, everything was great and patriotic, but it was a tough sell, and people lost interest not too long after those Apollo missions.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, and a flashback on a period of American history that we think we have one perception of, when really it was something else entirely. The other thing that I found really interesting was these missile silos, missile magazines, I guess they're called.
Right.
That were like right here in the Chicago area. We never thought of that.
Yeah, there's 23 of them. And in fact, the one we show, there are, it's built on some county land where, the workers are there. And they didn't even know it was there until this guy showed up and he starts cleaning it up because he wants to turn it into a museum. There was one that has like a statue of a missile on it, but most of the time there's nothing there. It's either forest preserve. There's one that has swing sets on it. So it's pretty interesting. 23 missile magazines around Chicago, and most people are driving by them and don't even know it.
Are they in certain areas, or are they kind of spread out around the Chicago area?
They're spread out in the suburbs, Northwest Indiana. There was one in Addison, and I don't remember off the top of my head all the places. One of them is now home to Blast Camp, a paintball war zone. That's probably the most battle that's ever been engaged with these missile magazines, because fortunately they never had to be engaged.
Oh, it's kind of ironic too that a missile launch, a one-time missile launch site, now has a swing set on it where kids are playing. That seems right. odd to
or,
me, too.
Yeah, or it's behind a Dick's Sporting Goods store.
Now, that's a service you don't get at a lot of sporting goods
right.
stores. And what the other story that you had was about a team of students that are trying to retrieve a meteorite that crashed into Lake Michigan. What's the backstory on that?
That was 2017, and there was a lot of video, actually, of this meteor coming down in the Midwest, and it went into Lake Michigan up off Wisconsin. So this team of students, through the Adler, hopes to be the first to retrieve a meteorite from the water, which, as you might imagine, is really hard. And they've gone out multiple times, and when we went to go visit them, they're still sifting through it. And it's unclear if they've gotten something. They think they have, but you know, the testing will show in the future whether they've recovered this meteorite. And of course, they can study it and hopefully help them find answers to the mysteries of the universe.
How do they do this with like sonar, or do they have those submarines like James Cameron has used to go down to the remains of the Titanic?
Well, the kids built a sled, and they dropped the sled off a boat, and the sled has a camera and a magnet.
Wow.
And so it sifts all this dirt, and of course, if the magnetic meteorite, you know, hits the magnet, then it brings in all this stuff. The problem is there's a lot of other metal junk at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
Right.
Surprise, surprise. So, you know, they've got to separate it and test it to see, do I have junk or do I have a meteorite?
That's fantastic. That could be a whole series of shows for you right there. Just the junk that they pull out of Lake Michigan and, you know, dead bodies of gangsters that are probably down there with cement shoes.
No Cadillac.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you have coming up? Now, that's going to be repeated tonight at 11. And then on CLTV again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. But the original run is Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. And can you preview a little bit what you have coming up next week?
Yeah, the next 2 weeks we're back to the dark and mysterious for Halloween. Next week I return to my hometown of Lynn, Massachusetts, which is next to Salem. And it was a hotbed for 19th century spiritualism, people who believed that they could talk to the dead. And one guy tried to build a robot to give birth to a messiah, and weird stuff. There's like a pirate treasure dungeon and lots of cool, interesting, dark and mysterious stuff. And we'll look at a guy from Chicago who actually tests people who claim they have paranormal abilities and things you've never even imagined, and we'll see how they did on those tests. And then the last week we do the Salem witch trials, and we look at church documents related to the original exorcism case that led to the movie, which you were a part of. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Hey, when you were growing up in Lynn, Massachusetts, right next to Salem, and is that a thing where, you know, when we think Salem, that's the first thing that we think of. Is that something that's on people's minds who actually live in that area, or is it like Al Capone here in Chicago, where that's what people think of when they think Chicago, but the average person never really comes into their consciousness?
Well, I think when you, and my relatives do live in Salem now, when you live there, it's just you're living where you live, and the tourism thing you just kind of roll your eyes at because, you know, it just kind of shuts the city down in October. But you cannot escape it. It's not like Chicago. You're not seeing Capone cutouts in every window like you do in Salem. You've got the plastic mannequins of the witches, and it's really tacky. And that's one of the things I wanted to explore, because here you have innocent people who were executed, and the city is celebrating this with witches, which, of course, there were no witches. And some people find that disrespectful? And the answer is yes. So it's this interesting dichotomy. And of course, now they do have witches because of the Wiccan religion. The Wiccans have set up shop there. So it's this weird mix of history and tchotchkes.
Right.
And it's interesting to look at how it all plays out.
Yeah, okay. So that's going to be next Saturday night on Backstory with Larry Potash. 10 p.m. Saturday night, WGN. Larry, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Larry Potash, WGN TV Morning News.